This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday, on a hump day. Currently in a massive, huge fight with my wife that I'm trying to work out during the break. Here's what we have on tap this hour. I'll get back to that in a minute. I'm going to continue my talk on how we treat the new arrivals to the gulag. We'll get to that. We're going to talk about Joe Biden losing his mind. We're being sandwiched. We're going to talk about the elites creating this false world for others, religion of domination. First, though, here's what the fight with the wife is about. So here's the deal. I have been unfairly accused of being cheap. And what are you laughing at, Chris? And I've been unfairly accused of being a hoarder. I am not a hoarder. I just don't love throwing things away that may have a future use. For instance, this morning, the wife pulled out this workout mat. Now, remember I told you I worked construction forever, and I was always out of town, and on occasion, she could join me if she wasn't working, whatever. At one point in time, we were working in San Antonio, and we were living in a hotel. Me, her, two small kids, that's all we could afford. We're in this extended stay hotel just trying to make a living. Well, she's a workout freak, and I was working out a lot back then, so we got this long workout pad that's in a bag. And we would go work out on it. That's all we could fit, this little spot in the hotel room. That's all you got. It's like prison. You just got this one little spot, and that's what we do. Okay, that's what we did. This is probably 10 years ago. She pulls it out today and says, we should throw this away. And I said, no, what if we need that again? She said, Jesse, when is the last time you used this? And I admit it has been some years. But how do I know? We're not going to. What if I get fired tonight? We might be right back in a hotel tomorrow, and I'll need a workout pad, and if we throw that one away, then it's gone, you see? Not a hoarder, practical. What, Chris? You're lecturing me on what a new one costs? No, this one may have cost $3, Chris. I guarantee the new ones are like $15-$20. That's what they cost now. Anyway, we'll set that aside. That's not what the fight is actually about. We're going to get back to politics here in just a quick moment. The closets. We're reorganizing our closets. I know we have huge, wild plans this week. On Saturday night, we are going to reorganize our closets. I have a ton of stuff I need to throw out that I never use. We're arguing over who gets to control the music playlist. My playlist is clearly superior. You hear the jams we play here on the show. That's mostly me. Because she's a woman, her playlist is garbage. All kinds of fat teeny bopper, all that crap. I can't sit and clean out a closet listening to that. She's putting up a fight. Either way, we'll work it out. Now let's go back to what we were talking about. How do we treat these people who have done everything they can do to bring America to this point, and now they slowly begin to wake up? I already used the example before. This Scott Galloway guy is writing Black Lives Matter articles back in 2020. This Scott Galloway guy, he was all about locking down his own kid's school when it came to COVID. This Scott Galloway guy, NYU professor, has been one of the pavers on the road to hell that America now finds itself in. And we wake up today and we turn on the TV and there's MSNBC there. Not that you turn that on. And Scott Galloway's complaining, my goodness, the anti-Semitism.
And I do think there is a double standard. I walked by NYU last night. What I saw was peaceful protest. But I can tell you, if I went into the NYU Square with a white hood on and said, lynch the blacks or burn the gays, my ID would be shut off by that night. And I would never work in academia again. There would be no need for the words context or nuance. I wouldn't be protected by terms like First Amendment or free speech. I would be out of the world of academia. It seems like we have a double standard when it comes to hate speech as long as it's against Jews.
How'd that Black Lives Matter movement work out, Scott? The one you not only supported, you said we weren't doing enough. How'd it work out? Scott, do you see the connection? Right? And it's, let me clarify. I want liberal Aunt Peggy. I want her to wake up. I want her to wake up, to look around, to see the world of make-believe in which she resides, and to step out of that world into our real world. That doesn't mean I want liberal Aunt Peggy to all of a sudden align with me on everything. I don't want my friends to align with me on everything. I want her to wake up, step out of that real world, and stop carpet bombing my country. That's what I want. And if she wants to do that, if she's willing to do that, then she's welcome inside of my tent anytime. I just had a girl, I don't want to name her, even though I had her on my TV show. I think it was last week. I had a woman on my show, and she had wrote an article about something I'd said on the radio show about liberal white women and how they were insane and how they were destroying the country. And she used to be one of those women. And it was during COVID she started to wake up and see the lies. And since then, the more lies she's seen, the more she stepped out of it. She has now fully stepped out of the world of make-believe into our world. That person is welcome to eat at my table any single day. Why? She gets on the show, she writes it down, she acknowledges her role in what brought America to where it is, she acknowledges she was wrong, she acknowledges that she is the one that helped bring us here. The second you do that, at least for me, all is forgiven, all is forgotten, you are welcome at my table, let's be anti-communists together, no matter what you used to be. Forget about that, the past is gone, I'm all about forgiveness and redemption and these kinds of things. But how am I supposed to treat the Scott Galloways of the world, the Bill Maurers of the world, the people who have used their entire professional career to chop away at the foundations of America? All of Scott Galloway's career, he's been at the base of this beautiful statue we call America with a pick in his hands, chopping away and chopping away and chopping away and chopping away. And now he looks up and the statue's starting to crumble and it's leaning over and he's looking around saying, hey guys, stop chopping at the statue. You're killing us all. Well, Scott, do you acknowledge your role in this? Or are we going to get more of this? Because I'm sorry, this may sound like regret. This doesn't sound like an apology.
Well, I was on the board of my kid's school during COVID. I wanted a harsher lockdown policy, and in retrospect, I was wrong. The damage to kids of keeping them out of school longer was greater than the risks. But here's the bottom line. Myself, our great people, the CDC, I'd like to think the governor, we were all operating with imperfect information and we were doing our best.
So so let's learn from it.
He walks into the gulag, the one you and I are already in. FBI had infiltrated our church. They found out we believed in the Ten Commandments. Now we're sitting here in a federal penitentiary. This is 10 years from now. Scott Galloway walks in. He's our new cellmate. And he says, not I'm sorry. Not I can't believe what I did to the country. Not, hey, I own responsibility for bringing us here. He walks into the cell and says, man, hey, I was wrong about some stuff, but let's move past it. Anyway, hey, Jesse, you want to share that ramen? Am I sharing the ramen? Are you accepting it? I'm sorry, I'm not accepting it. No, no. For years, you called yourself a liberal. Maybe you even still call yourself that. You're a progressive. You're a Democrat. For years and years and years, you have taken part in the grievance culture of the Democrat Party of this country. America's evil. America sucks. America's racist. America's misogynist. America this. America this. America that. And you wake up one day and a bunch of demons who hate America are lighting it on fire. You need to come to me with an apology first. Then we can discuss whether or not you will sit down at my table with me. But what we are not going to do, we are not just going to let bygones be bygones and welcome the great destroyers of the country into the tent and act as if we're all friends here and we're all in the same place and we're all going to get along. No, I've spent my entire life trying to stop you from destroying the statue of America. You've spent your entire life as a liberal chopping away at that statue of America. We are not on even ground. We are not going to eat at the same table until I get an acknowledgement from you. And maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe I am. I admit that. But it is what it is. All right? All right. We're going to get to some emails before we get to being sandwiched. Hang on.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and yeah, we got a lot of this today. I don't know what we can even say at this point in time.
I cut the national debt so far.
Cut the national debt.
Still got all this other things in.
Gosh, we'll get to that in a little bit. I want to do some emails first. I'm way behind on this. We have to clear some out. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Hey, Jesse, until we address the Americans who hire illegals, rent them apartments, give them bank accounts, so on and so forth, until we recognize this, nothing will change. The bad part is these people have done everything from wash our toilets to build our houses for over 50 years. There will be no kicking these people out. Our servant is now our master. His name is Dean. Dean brings up a very good point. In fact, it's something that I struggle with when it comes to certain things, like buying American. I am a big fan of buying American. I will tell you, just being honest with you, I never used to be. I never cared about that at all. And when I had people tell me that, and this, I'm talking about in my 20s, when I would have older people tell me, because it was almost always older people, buy American, forget that Chinese-made crap. I'm not proud of this. I would kind of roll my eyes. Oh, gosh, here we go. I'm not buying American. I'm going to buy whatever's cheapest for me and my family. I know I sound like Chris, but that's what I would talk about. As I've gotten older and gotten more educated on what these people have purposely done to America's manufacturing sector, what they've done to the Rust Belt, what they've done to this country, I focus more and more on that. Now, I'm not perfect. I mean, how can you be perfect? Everything in the daggone country is made in China, but I'm trying. I'm trying for buy American. I wish everyone was that way. I want the country to buy American. I do. And I'm not against trade. I'm really not, but I want there to be more buy American. However, the poor person, people who are hard up, maybe that's you right now. We can rant about Walmart. You know, Walmart's a great thing to rant about. Big soulless corporation. Who doesn't hate Walmart? Everything they sell is cheap Chinese crap. But what's the poor person supposed to do? Not eat because he can't buy American? Maybe that hundred box thing of Kraft Mac that he can afford in Walmart, if he buys it at a discount, maybe that's the only way he gets to put a meal on his table for his wife, for his children. I'm supposed to what? Lecture that guy about not shopping at Walmart or buying something Chinese? Maybe his TV went out. Can't afford a new one? You can argue TV isn't a necessity. Easy for you or I to say because we have one. He wants a TV, wants to watch the game. Can't afford an American one, if you can even find an American one. What he's got is a Chinese one that's on sale. You, me, we're going to lecture him about that? But I'm going to bring this back to illegals. If we do get ourselves off of Chinese-made goods, and that does need to be the goal. Not all of them, of course. Trade is fine, but The goal should be start making things again here. American jobs, American manufacturing, American quality, which is always better. Well, that's going to be expensive. It's going to be more expensive. The truth is, China, one of the appealing things about things being made in China is they essentially treat their employees like slaves. Isn't that awful? I think it's awful. I don't think any employee should be treated like a slave. But that's part of the reason Chinese stuff is so cheap, right? You can work Wong 18 hours a day into the ground and feed him a couple balls of rice. And when he dies, you drop him in the ditch and go get his uncle and bring him in and do the same thing. Well, that makes for cheap goods. Are we as Americans willing to pay higher prices for made in America? It's a worthy conversation. And it brings me back to this illegal immigration conversation. The illegal immigration conversation of, are we willing to pay more to stay in a hotel room? You know how expensive hotel rooms have gotten now? We're actually looking, I haven't traveled in a little bit. I've got to travel here shortly. And you know I've got to travel in July for the Republican National Convention. So I'm going to have to get a hotel room somewhere. Have you seen what they're charging for hotel rooms now? When I was a kid, $100, I sound like such a grandpa. When I was a kid, $100 for a hotel room, that was a very good hotel room. We stayed in $19.99 Motel 6 hotel rooms for almost my entire life. No, Chris, it wasn't an hour. No, it was. That's what it was. That was part of the advertisement for 19. Sometimes it was $24.99. You could get a hotel room at Motel 6, and it was clean. It was no Mexican resort. It didn't have a hot tub for a bathtub, but it was clean. It had a cable. That was it. Now, that's a $100 room now. So you ready for those costs to go up? I want every illegal deported. You do too. You know that means those costs go up. Look, I'm just talking about the issues here. Groceries. I am very angry about grocery prices. I get these emails from people about shopping for groceries and how mad they are, and it just kills me. I hate it. I can't stand it. So we want those prices to go back down. You understand if we deport all the illegals, those prices go up. Just a fact. They do. Are we ready to deal with that? I don't know. Look, these are complicated questions. I'm glad we can talk about them. All right. We have more. I want to talk about Christopher Wray, the FBI sandwiched top and bottom. Before I get to sandwiched top and bottom, I want to talk to you about chalk. Speaking of saving money, you already know about all the natural herbal supplements at chalk. You know this. You understand that no matter what you're going through, they have something for you there. Me personally, I always talk about the male vitality stack, but that's because that's what I take. I have Chad Mode, their pre-workout. I take that before every workout. I drink their chalk lit powder every morning, and I take a male vitality stack. But that's me. Don't think that that's all they have. Endless natural herbal supplements for whatever you're looking improving on. But you want to save money. If you go to chalk.com, chok.com, and you make a one-time purchase, you pay full price. Get a subscription. This is not a scam because you cancel it at any time. All you have to do is let them know I'm done and they stop it. But subscriptions save you a fortune. So get a subscription. There's no reason not to. And the discount on the subscription lasts for the lifetime of it. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. All right? Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes. We have a ton to get to. I'm going to get to Christopher Wray here in a moment. I'm going to get to a couple more emails. Then we'll talk about Christopher Wray and Merrick Garland and being sandwiched. This one said, Headhunter, picked up my 9-year-old from his mom's yesterday. After what felt like grilling him about how his day was, what he did at school, we lost material to talk about. So I decided to finish the hour 3 of the world famous Jesse Kelly Show as we got closer to home. About 15 minutes later, he asked, Dad, why do you always listen to these weird podcasts? Well, Bubba, I like to stay informed. Why do you ask? He says they always talk about weird stuff like cutting off little boys' penises and racism. So we spent the next 5 minutes going over said subjects. I just found it pretty awesome that your show opened up a door of communication with my son I would otherwise have no clue how to walk through. Thank you, Pink Flower. His name is, he said you can say my name if it makes you feel validated. His name is JJ. I'll tell you this. This is just me. This is what I believe. I believe that we are put here on this earth for a purpose. And that we are made specifically for that purpose. I am put here for a reason. I am made the way I'm made for a reason. I, because of the way I'm made, can do things you cannot. And vice versa. You are put here for a reason. You're made the way you are for a reason. And you are able to do things I cannot do. You can reach people I can't reach in ways I can't do. You have skills I don't have, and vice versa. We're all different, right? We're all made that way. I understand that I am a stupid person. I understand that I am a bad person. I know that. I wish that wasn't the case. It is the case. I know that. I understand that I don't have a lot of skills. I know that. I do, however, have an advantage, and that's that I don't worry about offending people. And it's not like other people who say that I don't worry about offending people. You can tell. You listen to the show. It just does not concern me. Look, you can email me. You can call me when you're offended. But it doesn't bother me at all. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And it's not because I feel like I'm better than anyone. I am very confident in what I believe. It's just that I view being offended as a weakness. And whenever anyone tells me they're offended by anything, even if it's something legitimately rude or horrifying, when they tell me they're offended, I immediately think less of them. I do. I think less of them. I think you're trying to emotionally manipulate me in what I say. I immediately think less of you when you're offended. Because of that, it allows me to help shift the Overton window back towards the right direction in this country in a small way. I'm not saving America any more than you are in a small way. I am willing to speak about things in ways that other people are not. And I believe that's how we all should be, to be honest with you. Because the left is so concerned about language. Chris said, what's the Overton window? I shouldn't just gloss over that. Remember, the Overton window is simply this. It's shifting the parameters of a conversation for what is acceptable. So if I, Chris walks up to me and he demands $1 million. And I say, no, I don't have $1 million. And even if I did, why would I just give you $1 million? Okay, well, give me 750,000 then. Hold on. No, I don't have 750. I don't have to. And then we start negotiating. And we're negotiating, right? Now, remember, there was no agreement anyway, but now we're negotiating. And in the end, I end up agreeing to give Chris $100,000. Why? Well, he shifted the Overton window. Democrats do this masterfully, and Republicans lay down for them as they do it all the time. You pick the subject, whether it's a cultural subject, no matter what it is, Republicans will shift with the communists in the Overton window. You want an example? Look at every Republican now supporting a 15-week abortion. Every single one of them now. It used to be, it's a life, it's wrong. Now it's, well, I mean, we got to win elections. I certainly don't want things to be uncomfortable. But you name the issue. Illegal immigration, same thing. No, they all get deported. Not a single illegal allowed in America. That's not a radical stance. That's my stance. That's a basic border security stance. Not right wing, left wing. That's a basic border security stance. Find me how many elected Republicans will have that stance publicly. Every one of them. Well, I mean, we should deport the criminals, definitely. And I mean, well, the men, if they've committed violent crime, guys, if he just has a speeding ticket, well, we don't want to be too harsh. That's shifting the Overton window to the left. But why does that Overton window shift? One of the main reasons is language. Language. Remember how often we've talked about how purposeful the communist is with his language. The communist He speaks with one voice. Why does Nancy Pelosi use the exact same talking point that CNN uses? Who uses the exact same talking point that the UCLA professor uses? Who uses the exact, you understand what I'm saying? Why do they all use the same words? Because they've chosen their words carefully. Therefore, abortion can never be abortion. It can't be the extermination of a baby. It has to be reproductive rights, guys. Reproductive rights or women's rights. You see, they choose their language to shift the window and deceive. When it comes to how I speak about everything, I believe in the complete rejection of that. And in fact, I believe if you're not offending those people, you're failing. I really genuinely believe that. Why do I, when I talk about these tranny surgeries, why do I just put it like that, chopping off a child's penis? Because they're chopping off a child's penis. I understand. What do they call it? What is it? Gender conforming care? Is that what it? Gender? Yeah, that's right, Chris. Gender affirming care and all the. Why do they use that language? Why don't they come out and say cutting off a child's penis? It's so straightforward. The surgeon puts the child down. The poor innocent young boy who's been abused by everybody. They put him to sleep and then he takes a scalpel and he chops off the child's penis. Why do I talk like that? Because that's reality. Why don't they talk like that? Why do they call it gender affirming care? Because they don't want you to know reality. They don't want you to know that the illegals come into this country and rape American women en masse. They don't want you to know that abortion, that the child feels pain, that we can witness children avoiding the scalpel in the womb, trying to save themselves. They don't want you to know. All of it is based on deception, and the language is part of that deception. And so we, you and me, have to be better. And I am pointing fingers at myself because I may be decent at this because we live in a system of total lies. The system is all lies, all of it now. Because that's the system we live in, I'm sure even people like you, people like me, fail. I guarantee you, I speak to you for 3 hours a day on the radio and an hour a day on television, and I guarantee you there are ways in which I use the language of the left. I wish I didn't. I'm working on that. When I find out, I say things, I try to get them out of my vocabulary. One of the things I used to say all the time is fossil fuels. And then I think it was actually a listener email or maybe someone sent me something. That's a term of the left. Do you know that? Fossil fuels are a term of the left. I have tried pretty successfully to get that term out of my vocabulary. That's why I say the things I say the way I say them. If you're not offending people in a society this based on lies, you're probably not moving the needle at all. That's the truth. All right. I am sorry. I teased it. I never got to it. Christopher Wray and Merrick Garland is coming up next. Cross my heart and hope to die. Before we get to that, let's get to you and let's get to my pillow and let's get to how you sleep. Because you know you spend a third of your life in bed, right? Isn't that the most eye-popping statistic? One third of your life is spent in bed. It almost sounds lazy, doesn't it? Oh my gosh, but it's not. 8 hours a night. Don't cheat yourself on your bedding. And it used to be that meant you had to spend a fortune. You just did. You had to spend a bunch of money to get a premium mattress or a topper or a pillow or the sheets or whatever, because that's just the way it was. But now that MyPillow's here, MyPillow provides us the best in bedding at outstanding prices, and we get to support a company that loves this country. And they have a $25 extravaganza sale right now. Do you know that? $25. You want a two-pack of multi-use MyPillows? $25. MyPillow sandals? $25. Six-piece towel sets? $25. $25 extravaganza sale is one I've never seen before. Do not miss it. MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special square, use the promo code Jesse, or call 800-845-0544.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. All right, let's talk, because Christopher Wray came out today and he said something. Christopher Wray was sitting down for a long interview, head of the FBI, and he's being asked about all these, man, these crazy protests all over the country, college campuses, and he said this.
Are you actively monitoring these protests?
We don't monitor protests, but we do share intelligence about specific threats of violence.
We don't monitor protests. Okay, let's do this thing where we go ahead and skip past the obvious. Because I know what I'm supposed to do right now, what you're supposed to do right now. We're supposed to yell and scream. Yes, they do. Look at what they did January 6th. They're hunting down MAGA people. Let's skip past that because we already know. We already know. Not only do they monitor protests, all the evidence points to the fact they infiltrate protests. They make protests more violent than they would otherwise be. There's all the evidence in the world pointing to that being the fact. In fact, if you protested a school board for any given amount of time, there is very likely a file on you at the FBI, and they had to figure out which counterterrorism designation to put on you. So we know that. We know they monitor protests. So why say something like that? Why? Well, it reminds me of this Merrick Garland clip, one we've played before. This is from March of last year. Remember, pregnancy centers across America have been firebombed and vandalized. Molotov cocktails, graffiti. It's going on all over the place. It's really, really, really bad. It ramped up majorly after the overturning of Roe versus Wade. It's bad. Violence, mob violence everywhere. The Attorney General of the United States of America is the top law enforcement officer in the United States of America. Merrick Garland was asked, hey, why aren't you busting any of these guys? Here's what he said.
Those who are attacking the pregnancy resources centers, which is a horrid thing to do, are doing this at night in the dark.
Well, they're doing it at night. How come? Look, we don't, it's just the FBI. If you do stuff in the dark, we have no way of finding you. Christopher Wray, we don't monitor protests. Okay, so getting past the obvious, what are they actually saying? These are, you could probably argue easily that those are the two top law enforcement officers in the country, number one and two, the AG and the FBI director. So the top law enforcement officers in the country state publicly that they can't do anything about it. Either they can't find them. Oh, we didn't even look into that. And everyone knows that's a lie. So what are they actually saying? Well, this goes back to something we've talked about many, 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 many times. We have in place in this country a system where you are not surrounded. That's not really the way to put it. You are sandwiched. The elite communist scum, they occupy all the positions of power in this government. It is every Democrat. It's half the Republicans. Every member of the bureaucracy, DHS, FBI, AG, these are elite communist scumbags. Why elite? Because they don't actually believe in communism or any of that stuff. They're all on private jets and mansions on the beach, but they are really the puppet masters. They are the ones who manipulate the scumbags on the bottom, and that gives them more money and more power. But they do have a role to play. Christopher Wray may not actually believe in climate change, but he does have a role to play. Merrick Garland has a role to play, a critically important role to play. They are there to provide legal cover for the second group of communists, the street communist scum. This has been the case in every communist country ever. Elite communist scum on the top. Those are the ones with real power. They're not the true believers. And that brings us to the street communist scum at the bottom. That's the Antifa types, the BLM, the kill all the Jews, the climate change types, the feminist types, the street communist scum at the bottom. Why do they do what they do? Why do they stab people, vandalize things, firebomb pregnancy centers, acts of violence all over the place? Why do the street communist scumbags do those things? Is it just because they have mental illness? Well, that's part of it. Is it because they're naturally violent? That's part of it. On drugs? Yep, part of it. Really, really stupid? Yep, that's almost universal. The street communist scum are some of the dumbest members of society, so they're easy to manipulate. All that stuff's part of it, but that doesn't actually answer the why. Why do they do all these things? Because A, they are true believers, and B, the elite communist scum provide the legal protection they need. And that, always remember that that is where the real power lies. Who has the legal protection in a society in any given era? We've used this example before, but it's a great way to think about it. Have you ever wondered why, okay, you have the Italian crime families in New York City, Chicago, and whatnot, but then you have these cartels in Mexico. The cartels have more guys. The cartels have more money. Why don't they just move in and take it away? Hey, this used to be the Lucchese territory. Now it belongs to us, Sinaloa. Why don't they do that? They have all the guns. They have all the manpower. They have the money to do it. Why not do it? Well, what they don't have is the legal protection the Italian mafia has purchased from local judges and cops and DAs and otherwise. And this may be an older school way of thinking because a lot of that corruption was cleaned out years ago. But you understand what I'm saying. The real power in a crime family, the real power a crime family has in its pocket is the politicians and the judges and the cops. When you own the legal system, then you can provide protection to yourself and to your men and to your friends. And if you don't have that protection, well, speaking of the cartels, you step into the wrong cartel territory in Mexico, it won't be the cartels gunning you down, probably. You'll find yourself arrested. The cops will arrest you. Then they'll take you out and fire a bullet into the back of your head in the side of a ditch because they can do so with legal cover. In the United States of America, the street communists are given legal cover by the people in the highest levels of power. And that's why you see the animals running amok. Remember that. All right. We have so much more. An hour left. Hang on.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.